It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Mark, we are teaching today on the topic of forgiveness. Forgiveness, which means to be pardoned, is a basic biblical principle that can be studied and defined in context from four different approaches. Number one, forgiveness from God through Jesus Christ. Number two, forgiveness towards ourselves, others, and God. Number three, how do I know if I've been forgiven? And number four, how do I know if I have forgiven others? Mark 11:25-26 reads, And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. That word ought in verse 25 is an old English term meaning debt. When individuals have an ought to pay, it means they have physical debt, and also it means that they have a debt to pay in terms of forgiveness. This scripture in Mark speaks of vertical forgiveness, and it speaks to horizontal forgiveness. Vertical forgiveness from the Lord to us, and horizontal forgiveness extended from us to others. And the connection between the two in that if we refuse to forgive others, it will hinder and stymie our forgiveness from the Lord. Point number one. Forgiveness is not just forgive and forget, but never bringing the past to remembrance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17 underscores this point. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. This is speaking to God's forgiveness. He will remember our sins and iniquities no more. This does not mean that God has the capacity to literally forget. God knows everything, the beginning and the end, and everything in between, the past, the present, and the future, all at the same time. What this means is that he rather chooses not to bring the sins to the present. He rather chooses not to bring the sins into the here and now because they have been forgiven through Jesus Christ. Micah chapter 7, verse number 19 says that he will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. When the Lord forgives our sins, they are remembered no more. They are brought no more into the present tense. They are the past, and they are forgiven. We have been pardoned in the Lord Jesus Christ. This particular principle frees us up to go forward and fulfill our purpose in Christ, and not to be burdened down with years of bad choices and sins that caused us misery and shame. This principle of forgiving and forgetting in the Lord should also be translated to us in our relationships. We ought not to bring the past up in anybody's face. They are cleansed, they are washed, they are forgiven, for the scriptures say, Whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Point Number two, receive the power of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This name Jesus means Savior. This name Jesus means God is salvation. This name Jesus has meaning. It has a purpose. And the Lord Jesus Christ, before he was brought forth from the womb, had his name already foreordained, for it is his identity. This name is his purpose. This name is his destiny. He was brought into this world to save his people from their sins, to forgive and to heal. And he fulfilled this on the cross of Calvary by dying for the sins of the world and being raised again. The scriptures teach, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus Christ did a complete work on the cross of Calvary. John chapter 19, verse 30, scriptures says, "It is finished." These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on the cross before he gave up the ghost. These words, "it is finished," in context, comes from the Greek words tetelestai, which means paid in full. These words were stamped in that day when they fulfilled their debt to society and their prison sentence. They were given papers, scrolls that were stamped, "It is finished," in the Greek tetelestai, which means paid in full. This was to protect that prisoner from double jeopardy. This was to protect that prisoner in case he was arrested or confronted by the authorities. He can show them this scroll that their debt to society was paid in full, and they can no longer charge him with the same crime again. This is how it is for us. As Christians, we are forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ, paid in full, it is finished, and we cannot be charged again for the same crime. Whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Scriptures teach, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new." There is power in the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power receiving forgiveness through Christ. We have been washed, we have been cleansed, we have been forgiven in the Lord. Jesus Christ on the cross paid for every sin, past, present, and future. Scriptures teach in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Jesus Christ, through his shed blood, through the death on the cross, through his substitutionary death on the cross, paid for every sin. As a result, those that confess that they are sinners and trust that Jesus Christ died for their sins and rose from the dead will receive everlasting life through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power in forgiveness through Jesus Christ, as he died also for our shame. Through this power of forgiveness, we can rise above the shame of our sin. Scriptures teach, "The reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." There are many who are immobilized in their sins and their current shame of those sins. Jesus Christ died not only for our sins, but he died also for the shame associated with our sins. The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Romans chapter 15, verse 3. David said in the book of Psalms, chapter 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. There's power in forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number 3, forgive ourselves, forgive God and others through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those that are in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are walking in Christ in the Spirit, are not under the judgment of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. This principle will help us to forgive ourselves and move forward in our purpose in Christ. In addition to forgiving ourselves, we can extend this grace to others. So as we receive the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ vertically, we, as a result, extend this forgiveness to others horizontally. This picture is a picture of the cross in our mind. As we receive vertical forgiveness, we extend it horizontally. The grace of God as a picture of the cross of Christ. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11 says, and it is his glory, speaking of mankind, to pass over a transgression. This speaks to individual character in Christ, who is gracious enough to forgive individuals as Christ has forgiven us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32 speaks more on the importance of extending forgiveness towards others. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, which is yelling, and evil speaking, put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Once again, a connection between us receiving vertical forgiveness from God and it being directly connected as a responsibility to extend forgiveness horizontally towards others. In addition to us receiving forgiveness from God and extending that gracious forgiveness towards others, knowing that except for the grace of God go I, we also must ensure that we forgive God. There are those out there that sometimes are angry with God because they've lost a loved one, or maybe a child, a family member, or had some kind of health calamity befall their way or someone else that they loved. And they point the finger at God, saying that if God was loving or all-powerful, he would not let this happen. As a result, individuals must ensure that they examine themselves and extend forgiveness towards God, for he is a loving God, a gracious God, and a kind God. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Only good things come from God, and things that are evil and harmful and hurtful come from the devil. The scriptures speak that the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Point number For how do I know if I have forgiven others? This point number four is broken down into four areas, A, B, C, and D. Point 4A, how do I know if I have forgiven others when there is no root of bitterness? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 warns us against any root of bitterness springing up, troubling us, and thereby defiling us. A root of bitterness is long-lasting resentment, long-lasting anger towards someone else. A root of bitterness causes individuals to blame. It causes individuals to be negative. It causes individuals not to look in the mirror and take responsibility for their choices, but to look to others that have hurt them, and as a result, it changes their character and disposition from being kind, from being courteous, to being spiteful, to being sour and mean-spirited. If individuals still have a root of bitterness, they have not forgiven that individual. The answer is in Hebrews chapter 3, where it says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." When the Holy Spirit tells us to forgive, we forgive. When the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart to pray for that person, to forgive that person, we ought to be quick to forgive, quick to pray for them, to let it go, and to turn the page and forgive them as God has forgiven us. Point 4B, how do I know if I have forgiven others when there is no vengeance nor ill will toward them? Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." Individuals that are still hurting from their injuries in life are more prone to hurt others. They say in their spirit, "They hurt me, so I'm going to hurt them. I do not want them to get away with hurting me. Therefore, I want something bad to happen to them." This is a spirit of ill will and a spirit of vengeance. Throughout the scriptures, God gives us warning that he is the ultimate judge and vengeance is his, saith the Lord. If individuals still have a sense of ill will towards individuals or a sense of vengeance toward them, seeking satisfaction or seeking some type of "you hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you" spirit, then that individual has not forgiven the other. Point 4C, how do I know if I have forgiven others? When we pray for them, no matter what they have done. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 47, Jesus teaches us that we should love our enemies, bless them that curse us, and pray for them which despitefully use us. This is evident that individuals have forgiven them. When we pray for someone else that has wronged us, we are not only doing it for their benefit, but primarily we are doing it for our benefit. We are doing it to change our heart, a heart that's filled with vengeance or hate or ill will, to change that heart to a heart of grace and mercy and kindness towards that individual. It is impossible for someone to love someone and hate them at the same time. So through prayer, through heartfelt and earnest prayer, my heart changes as I wish good things upon that individual. As I pray for their good and their blessing, my heart is changed and I no longer am subject to the dangers of a root of bitterness, nor vengeance, nor ill will, but I can actually go forward knowing I have truly forgiven that person. Scriptures teach multitude of examples on forgiving those that have harmed us. Jesus Christ on the cross said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Stephen, when he was stoned in Acts chapter 7, prayed to God that it may not be laid to their charge. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 11 through 16, when he was standing before Caesar, states that no man stood with him, but all forsook him. He then said, "I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." These are examples of a forgiving spirit. These are examples of a kind spirit. These are examples of praying for those that have despitefully used them. In the example of Stephen and of Paul, they knew that God hath forgiven them of a multitude of sins, and how can they not pray for someone else to be forgiven and receive that same grace and mercy? Scriptures teach in Matthew 18 on the parable of forgiveness that we ought to remember that God has forgiven us from an innumerable amount of sins. And who are we to hold one, two, three, or four sins over someone's head when God has forgiven us and washed us and cleansed us? Point number 4D. How do I know if I have forgiven others? When we never throw the past up in someone's face in a condemning way. Going back to our original scripture in Mark chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, this scripture is teaching that there is vertical forgiveness from the Lord to us, and as a result of maintaining that vertical forgiveness from the Lord, we are charged to forgive others horizontally. This principle is also echoed in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 4, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." So, as individuals make mistakes, fall into sin, and then reconcile themselves back to God over and over again, as a part of being human, we ought to extend forgiveness and grace and mercy towards them, just as God extends grace and mercy and forgiveness towards us when we seek Him daily and moment by moment. For some, how soon they forget that God has forgiven them of a multitude of sins, and they are hesitant to extend that same forgiveness towards others. This does not mean that we overlook individuals that desire to live a lifestyle of rebellion or sin against God. This is speaking that when individuals desire to be forgiven by the Lord and walk in His ways, we should extend that same forgiveness that we received from the Lord vertically to them horizontally. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 puts this also in context. It reads that true love thinketh no evil. In the literal Greek, that is a mathematical term which means that we ought not to keep score of individuals' mistakes in order to throw it up in their face later on. This is also teaching that the past is the past, and we ought to move forward in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we keep score with others and our loved ones, then that relationship will self-destruct, and we will soon forget that if God were to keep score on us, we would never have a chance of everlasting life. We ought to receive forgiveness vertically, as God has been so merciful on us, and extend that grace, mercy, and forgiveness to others horizontally. Oh, the joy of forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the burden of guilt is removed and the joy of forgiveness bursts on the inside in celebration, worship, and praise, and extending that same forgiveness towards others. This is the teaching on forgiveness. And on today, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His love and kindness, I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes and pray this prayer after me. Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.